welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we are back to talk about Jaws the Revenge.
Part 2.
Oh, boy.
God, what if there was the Jaws Revenge Part 2?
Lord have mercy. Thank you. There was a sequel, a direct sequel to Jaws 4. Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord. Anyway, so as we start into our part two of this debacle, I have a question for you, Jeremy. How is a film in the Bahamas so dreary?
Yes.
This film is dreary. Like, it is just...
like the film stock they shot it on.
Just, like somehow
it's almost like they desaturated it.
It's like it's in the Bahamas, but somehow it's just kind of gray. Like it's just not.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Which is it actually totally works for the film because that's exactly what they're trying to do. It seems like. Then the next thing I have, is a quote. I've always wanted to make love to a welder.
They say that in the movie. I don't remember that.
Michael has a spat with his spouse about taking out the garbage. Yes. And then she lights an acetylene torch and points it at him. And then he says, I've always wanted to make love to a welder or an angry welder. It might have been an angry welder. I've wanted to do that since I was a little boy, is what he says. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, because remember that scene in the first Jaws where he said that? Yeah.
Yeah, where he professed his love of welders.
I can't remember the order of scenes in this movie, but is that before, after, when?
I don't even care about that part, but it is just, I'm like, what are we doing? This is a shark movie. What is happening right now? What is going on?
You are basically halfway into this 90-minute movie.
She shuts off the torch and they make love in this garage and you don't even get to see any of it.
You wanted to?
I didn't really, but they just drop out of frame. And I'm like, this is PG-13. I should at least get like side boob or something. Come on. I mean, if you're once again, I don't want to sound like a perv. I don't need the sex scene. But if you're going to do all the stuff to lead to the sex scene, at least have the sex scene, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're not out of place.
I mean, if you're not going to show a shark, which I'd rather you do that than any of this, this movie's so bad, Jeremy. I hate it so much.
As well, you should. You're not alone. You're in good company. The only thing I was going to say that you skipped over is the Ellen and Hoagie going for their impromptu airplane ride, and the blue screen work where it looks like they're about 4 feet. Off the deck.
Oh yeah, I did have worst pilot ever, but I forgot that there was a
one more scene of that.
Oh yeah, one more scene of that where he just stops piloting the plane.
Yeah,
and lets it dive into the ocean until she just goes, "I have to pilot it," and then he's like, "There you go," and I was like, "You're terrible."
Yeah. And then you also skipped over the scene where the shark just jumps out of the water and bites the barge and just kind of eats it.
Oh, yeah, just eats it.
While they all stand there and just watch him and just kind of like what is this shark doing?
Yeah, I think that was my note. The sharks followed them, so dumb. That was my note.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and once again, no suspense. There's zero suspense.
Well,
everything just happens in this movie. And there's like, it's just matter of fact. It's just, this happened.
I'll kind of follow through with this at the end of the movie. But if you look at this entire movie's plot from Ellen's perspective, it's literally if you just edited this movie to be solely Ellen's perspective, it would be her son gets eaten at the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
Then she has a romantic, creepy, weird, you know, a bad rom-com relationship with Michael Caine. And then she watches
I don't even think it's creepy and weird. I think it's just boring.
Boring. Okay, so her son gets eaten by a shark. She has a boring relationship with Michael Caine. Then she's on the beach and sees a shark bite the lady off the banana boat.
Yep.
So she commandeers another boat, goes out into the ocean, and basically in a little less than, I don't know, 2 hours of being out on the water, she impales a shark.
Like, yes.
Just think about her character arc, her storyline, how horrible it is. Like, and nothing else that goes on in the movie is of any consequence. Like, yeah. The shark's not really doing anything.
Yeah. Well, other than, you know, doing that log thing to kill her son.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, he parked the log on the beach.
Because somehow he
bring the log down?
Because somehow
he just brought it down in his mouth. And like,
because somehow he, by the way, they even have a shot of that later.
The log?
The log. It's like washed up on the beach and they show like.
Well, that's at the end of the ferry scene.
The ferry scene. They just show the log for some reason. And I was like, what?
Because the shark put it there or.
Like, oh, what?
Speaking of which, we kind of went past this.
What is the purpose? What is the purpose of the log shot being there?
Because movie? I don't know.
There's so much because movie in this.
We kind of skipped
over. This whole movie is because movie.
Why? We jumped way past this. Why is Sean? Why is there any remains of Sean left that are found that Ellen has to identify? Like, there's. The shark didn't completely consume him. There's something left. And.
Oh, yeah. Why almost does it... an entire body.
Right. And why does Ellen get like, oh, here's his things, which includes his gun. And you would think that that sets up a Chekhov's gun, literally gun for the end of the movie. And it never does. Right. Like, literally, it's like, here's your son's gun, your son that was murdered by a shark. Who had a gun? Here it is.
Yeah, here it is, and yeah, you can kill the shark with that gun later. Yeah, yeah, that would be a better movie. Better movies have done that.
Yeah,
I think even Jaws 3 had some Chekhov stuff in it.
Yep.
God, I just. Oh my goodness. So, yeah, then we see the shark and it jumps up and then it goes back down and then it's got this broken fin. Did you notice that?
The shark does? Which scene is that?
It's like literally every scene you see the shark. It's got one of its fins. This movie's so bad. I can never tell if it's the dorsal or the tail fin. I think it's the tail fin. The top part of it. Like, it's been snapped, and it's only being held on by the skin that's surrounding it, and it just kind of flaps.
The shark looks terrible.
Anyway.
It looks like a toy.
So they can never, no shot of it doesn't have this broken fin.
Yeah.
It's always there. So, and like, they didn't even bother to fix it. Like, they're like, yep, doesn't matter. Keep shooting. Like,
yep. Got no time here.
Yep.
This movie costs like $10 million to make, which, where is any of that money on the screen? Is that how much Michael Caine got paid? Like, I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm sure he got paid a lot. There's no way he didn't. My next note is old people romance. Cool.
Yay.
And I guess the next thing we get to is Michael gets chased by the shark.
Oh, when he's underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah. That scene was almost suspenseful.
Yeah.
You skip past the flashbacks of Roy Scheider scene when Michael is having the same exact exchange with his daughter. Do you really, if your movie is that bad, do you want to remind people that it's a sequel to a really good movie? Like, do you want to remind, like, hey, remember that really great scene?
Yeah. Well, not to mention during the funeral scene, they show that scene.
Mm-hmm. And then we see it again.
And then we see it
again.
Wait,
do they? I forget. Do they flashback in this scene to
They have a flashback to Michael, or is it Sean? It's Sean and his dad in Jaws.
And now it's Michael and his daughter.
Now it's Michael and his daughter in this, which I don't know if that's right now, but
yeah.
Anyway,
Michael reliving that scene that he wasn't in the first Jaws.
Yes, correct. There's a lot of that in this.
Yeah. And then when you do the scene here where Michael gets attacked in the submersible by the shark, you fully see the shark's mechanical arm that holds it up. You get a good look at that.
I didn't even notice that.
And then also when when the shark bursts through the sunken ship wall, you see this giant balloon hydraulic in its mouth break.
Oh, really?
So you can definitely tell, like, almost everything in this movie is one take, and they just did not care. They're like, no, we got it.
My notes are, how did the shark get into the shipwreck? But apparently I didn't even notice, like, it broke through a wall. Like, did I just get bored and, like...
That was right before he used his tank to make himself launch straight up.
Yeah, but isn't it following him in the ship?
Yes, and
before
then
it
makes no sense because the shark follows him inside the ship and then is immediately out of the ship.
He goes through
unless there's some hole.
He goes through the door, but then it's like outside of the ship and then comes through.
Yeah, it makes no sense. There's no sense of geography in the shipwreck.
And then once again, it's in the shipwreck and that ship is so narrow, that thing would never be able to turn around.
I would have thought it would be very easy for Michael to find somewhere in the ship that the shark can't get to, but apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the scariest scene in the movie where the eel jumps out at Michael. It actually scared me.
It actually scared me. Absolutely. 100%. And then
eel is scarier than the shark, for sure.
Yeah, that's the second time he goes down, right?
Yes, because after almost getting killed by the shark in the shipwreck, he has the line, I'm scared. What if I can't go back in?
Yeah.
That's his justification for getting back in the water is he's scared he won't be able to go back in.
Which I get. He's a marine biologist, so.
Yep.
That totally made sense to me. I didn't mind that rationalization at all. Do you have a problem with the no decompression from coming up too fast?
You know, I'm not a scuba diver, so I don't know how the rules work, but I think I know enough to know that you can't do that.
And
that
I don't.
If you're like 50 feet down.
I don't know how far down you have to be to not worry about that. So.
Yeah. He looks like he's a good, 30, 40 feet down.
Yeah, he's a ways down.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's by far the most action-packed scene in the movie. It's not a good scene, but it's more interesting than any other action set piece in the movie.
It is the best action set piece. I will give it that. In this movie, it is the best action set piece. And I don't know kind of what's happening ever. It's just kind of like quickly edited. And anyway, so then we get... we get the art installation and the banana boat sequence.
Yeah.
Which
what do you think of that?
Which to that I say, Deo. Me say Deo.
The banana boat song?
Yes.
Oh, glad you got that in.
Yeah. So it's trying to eat the littlest Brody. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
But
Michael's daughter.
But it eats the lady at the end instead.
Yes. One thing you skipped over, the guy at the microphone giving the speech about the sculpture. Do you know who that is?
No.
That is Melvin Van Peebles.
Oh, no.
Mario's dad and star of many classic 70s blaxploitation movies.
Yes.
Got himself into the movie.
Yeah. What is it?
Sweet, isn't he? Sweet Backs.
Backs badass song.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so this whole thing happens. They get the kid. This lady gets eaten in the slowest way possible. This shark is so... I thought the last shark in Jaws 3 was slow.
Yeah.
This shark is so slow and spends so much time out of the water. It just doesn't even... It, like, defies physics.
I am pretty sure that this scene, although it plays out in slow motion... I am pretty sure all the actors were instructed to act in slow motion as well.
It is not shot in slow motion. It is, people are miming slow motion.
That's what I'm saying.
Because the shark is so slow.
People are miming slow motion.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
That some of these scenes are not slow motion. They are mimed slow motion.
Yes.
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 We're saying the same thing. 100%.
So what's her plan here? She sees this, she steals the boat.
Yes.
And what's her plan? Go get eaten?
Well, if the movie is...
She doesn't even know about the track. There's a tracker on this boat. She doesn't even know about that.
Yeah, she knows nothing about what Michael's been doing, essentially. Yeah. But if the movie, it wants us to believe that the shark is... going after her family because the shark wants her to get in the water, which she hasn't done up till now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the shark is doing. He's just like, I'm going to mess with Michael. I'm going to mess with her granddaughter just so she'll get in the water. So the idea is that once she's on the boat, the shark will come to her, which is what Michael Caine says in a little bit here, that just... The movie wants us to believe that the shark is just trying to get her to face off against the shark.
Because movie. Cool. So once again, the worst pilot finds her, but not right away. We have to have him find a different boat first.
Yep.
And then he finds another boat and then it's like, oh, it is her. And he's like, hey, what's that? And it's like, oh, it's a shark chasing her. So then he just ditches this plane.
That actually might be the coolest scene in the movie where they literally landed a plane on the water. Like, they did that.
They literally ditched a plane. I will give him credit for that. That actually is the name for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally do that and happen to stop it, like, right next to the boat. It's actually really... I gotta give, like, kind of, like... A little golf clap to whoever did that. Well done.
Whoever the pilot stuntman is, he nailed it. He did it. He's the only person who did exactly what was asked of him in this movie.
Yeah. Then we get, so then they immediately dive off the plane.
Wait, you skipped over how the shark is now defying the laws of physics, because when the plane flies over, they make their first pass on the boat, the shark hurls itself out of the water towards Ellen and then just basically like lowers itself back down as almost as though it's a mechanical shark on a hydraulic lift.
Yeah. I don't know if I skipped it as much as I didn't even need to talk about it.
Just didn't register.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, stupid shark is stupid. Cool. Yeah.
And for a good chunk of the finale of this movie, we're now in the Universal backlot in the big fake water tank.
Yeah, it's funny because
that's been used in literally hundreds of movies. I was going to say, perhaps most famously by The Truman Show, where the finale of The Truman Show is, where they have him walk up against the wall, the painted backdrop wall.
Yeah. Yeah, so it attacks the plane. Man, and I thought I hated Jaws attacking a helicopter. I hate
attacking the plane.
It's even worse. It's like, so they dive into the water, like free meal. It's like, nope, I'm going to go attack this plane. Yeah. Although right here is my favorite part of the entire movie.
Michael Caine's line.
Oh, sh**.
See, Michael Caine is redeemed.
legitimately good.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I'll say right now, like, this movie does nothing in my mind to sully the reputation of Michael Caine. Oh. He's been in a lot of movies, and there's plenty of bad ones. He's a very prolific actor. This is just one more, like, his filmography is long. Some of it very prestigious. Most of it not. This is just in the not category. No big deal.
Yeah, well.
This movie is 0.00001% better because he's in it.
Yeah. Anyway, it attacks the thing. He ends up back on board because it didn't kill him. It killed the plane.
Yeah.
And then he has a dry shirt.
Yeah.
That's
an old movie trope. No one stays wet.
But everybody else has a wet shirt.
Yeah. He's Michael Caine.
Also,
don't think I'll be wet, Governor.
But my point is, Jeremy, this movie cannot spend the time to wet his shirt down. They're in a tank of water.
Mm-hmm.
It would take 2 seconds to throw water on him.
Yeah.
And they don't have the time to throw water on him.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
He's wet in the one shot he climbs out of the water.
And then instantly dry.
Instantly he's like, he might have been misted with a spray bottle for the rest of the scenes, but that's about it.
Yeah. Then we have them. We have Jake and Michael make up. I don't know what this is, but you see this in movies a lot where they make up stupid movie tech because
they just spew out a bunch of gobbledygook that explains why this thing they're going to do is going to work.
Yeah. Stupid movie tech because movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they basically have flashlights and they got them linked together somehow and they'll strobe them and then it'll make it.
If we stick this thing in the shark, it will elevate out of the water and roar like an elephant.
Like a lion.
Yeah. Or whatever that sound is.
Then Jake puts that thing in the shark. It is the slowest shark ever. It is slow. And then they even have to slow down the actors.
Yeah.
To compensate.
This is another, I for think how people slow are miming slow-mo.
So the people aren't miming. They're actually, I don't even think they're, I think they were shot in real time, but then they are slowed down by doubling frames.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even slowed down by under or by overcranking.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's bad.
And the shark is literally raising out of the movie, out of the water, like it's on it, riding in a forklift.
It's the last inch of its tail fin out of the water.
Yeah. It's supposed to think, I think what they are going for is that the shark is like leaping, like it's breaching, like doing a big leap, but it never, ever even remotely is convincingly looking like that's what's happening. Also worth noting is from here to the end of the movie is where we deviate between the theatrical cut and the home video cut.
Yes.
So this movie is well known for they shot it and had their preview screening or their opening night screening and then went back and reshot the ending. So for the record, Tyson and I watched the theatrical version, which was briefly available on Netflix for a while. But the Blu-ray version apparently contains the reshot version. And I think you can watch what Tyson and I watched, but only in deleted scenes. It's not there like as the cut of the movie, but Tyson and I got to watch the theatrical cut. So this scene right here, the version Tyson and I watched, the death of Mario Van Peebles is far more gory. You see his body like getting kind of smashed against the wooden post. And so in our version of the movie that you and I watched, Mario Van Peebles is dead.
Yes.
But in the reshot version, in the reshot version, he lives. And I think that's why we deviate here, because they're like, well, we got to get rid of that one shot when he gets snatched off the bow of the boat, because it's He looks
don't they
wrecked.
But don't they also have, he gets snatched off the bow of the boat, but then don't they also have him like getting chomped underwater still?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. Yeah, yes, yes. There is. There's an underwater shot of Mario getting just like annihilated. But even in the home video cut that most people would see if they bought it on Blu-ray or, you know, grew up watching it on cable TV, you would have seen this, the cut where Mario lives.
Yeah.
Even in that, I mean, Mario's dumping, you know, a mountain of blood
mm-hmm.
out of his torso as he gets chomped by the shark. But yeah, there is one shot in the theatrical cut of a little bit more gore. So.
Well, the theatrical way is the way to go.
if you can find it, the home video version with the
this movie's re-ending. So bad it took its better ending and then made it worse.
Well, if they wanted to reshoot it to make it like we want Mario Van Peebles to live and we want the death of the shark to be more climactic. They definitely did that with the reshoots, but it's so much more incompetently done.
But it doesn't make any sense, Jeremy.
Zero.
They stab it with the end of a boat, and then it explodes.
It explodes. And
in the version we have, they stab it with the boat. It spews blood everywhere.
While roaring.
And then it keeps getting stabbed. You get a reverse shot of it getting stabbed. It breaks off the bow of the boat because it's so heavy, spewing yeah. blood everywhere, and then sinks down into the depths as the boat sinks. It's awesome. It's kind yeah. of awesome. I actually, if you're going to kill a shark with the bow of a boat, I totally bought it and I liked it.
I deliberately made the choice when I shared my copy with you to give you the theatrical cut because A, that's the first cut of the movie that existed, and B, it's better.
It is better, and I don't get why they went back. So then they go back, they have this weird, so it she stabs it with the bow of the boat. And then it explodes for no reason. I don't even understand how it explodes. It explodes.
And did you freeze frame on the miniature shark?
Oh yeah, I've seen
like this. I think you can easily find it on the internet. But there's literally in the home video alternate ending. It's like they blew up a Lego shark.
Yeah,
it's so small and terrible.
It has to be like 6 inches long. Like,
yeah, it's so bad.
But then, in this re-edit, they use the same shot from Jaws,
where it like sinks to the bottom as though its head exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is terrible because the version we watched, the theatrical cut, has this pretty decent looking miniature of the full shark impaled sinking to the bottom, like,
and it looks fine. It looks great.
Looks fine. Yeah, it's. I mean,
it looks
1987 fine.
I think it looks better than the shark ever did throughout the whole movie. Actually,
yeah. Yes,
the death of the shark is the best effects in the entire movie.
In the version we watched.
In the theatrical version. No, they use, this is so sloppily done, the reshoot version, that they are literally reusing the exact same shot from Jaws.
The incompetent, like.
Like you won't notice?
Like no one would notice, yeah.
It's sinful.
Yeah. Did this movie get Sid Sheinberg fired from Universal?
I hope so.
Me too. It should have. Like, whoever greenlit this mess and let it keep going. And let, like, they should have watched the final. Like, when this was in editing, Universal should have just said, we're just writing this sucker off. Like,
yeah. So
how much have you spent? $7 million. We're done.
We've skipped over something that I really want to touch on. before Ellen steers this boat into this beast, she starts having visions in like sepia
tone. Of Roy.
She has visions of her son.
Oh yeah, that was a note I had too. Like why sepia tone?
Yeah. Well, it's just the way they've done it, even from the beginning.
Yeah.
But she starts having visions, and it's all things she never saw. And not only things she never saw, nobody saw.
Only
us. Boy,
yes, it's like when movies have...
The only people that have seen the things that she's thinking of is us, who have watched Jaws movies.
The audience, yes.
The audience. Even freaking Dreyfus, who was literally there when Roy shot the shark, he didn't even see it.
Like,
technically.
Like, are we to believe that Martin Brody got home and said and recounted the story to her verbatim, saying, "And then I said, 'Smile, you son of a,' and then I shot the shark." Like, even if we are, the point of view of the camera is a stretch as it is, but we're supposed to believe that he recounted the story verbatim. With even he's like, and then I yelled, "Smile, you son of a bitch."
Yeah. Well,
that's
then
what the movie wants.
And then earlier you get her line. She's like, "You come after me, you son of a bitch." Right.
Yeah.
There was one point when she stole the boat, when she like steals herself and like steals the boat. I know I'm jumping back here, but I was like, do they think this is Ellen Ripley and not Ellen Brody?
It's amazing you just said that. That is my next note. Are you ready for this? Here is my note.
Guys, we do not talk before we do these. So.
We don't. Yeah. Okay. Get out of my head. Here is my note. This movie, now it may have been in production at the same time, but this movie came out 1 year after Aliens, which alongside of like The Godfather 2, like rewrote the book on what a sequel should be.
Mm.
If you are Universal, how are you not looking at Aliens going, "Oh, like we are going to look like morons if we like"? They literally are like, Jaws 4 made money. It made a profit.
Yeah.
It was made for like 10 million and made 50. Like that's still horrible relative to the first Jaws, but it made a profit. But if I'm anybody at Universal, I'm looking at this movie going, how much have we sunk into this thing? $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million. And then I go see Aliens in the theater. If you're thinking we got to build something out of this business, we have to make a franchise, like I am literally setting the negative on fire for Jaws 4.
Yeah.
And going, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. How do we Ripley-ify Jaws 4?
Like, but
if you're
going
to do
like,
an Ellen Brody movie, there's a way to do it, you know?
I feel like this is like the laziest way to do it, like,
yeah,
and it really doesn't even do it. It just kind of pretends to, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, like, is that what they thought? Like, I wonder, did they think like, oh yeah, we're gonna kind of like, did they go into this thinking we're gonna kind of Ellen Ripley this thing? Ellen Ripley, Ellen Brody.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was weird.
So why did they change the ending? Do you know the story behind that? Because I do not.
Only what I've read on Wikipedia and a few other places, but the Wikipedia quote is that following a bad audience screening, that the different ending was ordered to be shot for foreign distribution, and basically the movie hadn't released overseas yet. So they're like, okay, well, let's reshoot the ending so that when it releases everywhere else, we can have that new ending in place. And if that ending ever was seen in theaters in the U.S., I'm not sure. But as a result, when the movie went to home video and television, they used the updated cut. So basically this home video cut with the worse ending is what everyone always saw. Like, so unless you saw this in theaters in 1987,
but what I don't get is it's so much worse.
Right. I just think I just think Universal, like, once it was out there, they were just like, we are done with this. No one spent, like, any decisions that had to be made on this movie equals spending money, and nobody wanted to touch this thing of the 10-foot pole. So
they spent more money to make the ending worse.
And again, how do you not get that new ending shot, look at it and go, nope, set that on fire. Set that negative on fire. That's never going
out. You're not even spending the money to, like, they're using stuff from Jaws to make it work. Like,
yeah.
It's so bad.
I have a feeling the director had nothing to do with that. That was like studio executive meddling.
It's beyond terrible. It's just,
yeah. The other famous story behind this is that these reshoots is what got Michael Caine. That's what prevented him from attending the Academy Awards to accept his Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters.
Cool.
It was the reshoots, not the movie itself.
Well, good. Serves him right for being in it.
That's the price he paid for accepting it.
Yep. Yep. The plane sinks, the boat sinks. No explanation.
Yeah.
They are way out to sea. They make that clear.
They are? Well, it is the Bahamas, so
they have to take a plane.
No matter where they are, it's about 20 feet deep, so.
They have to take a plane to get to them. Right? And then they can't even land that plane somewhere and then go out. They have to crash the plane.
Yeah.
Because they're so far out. Right?
They should have just had that line. What day is this?
But the whole thing
Thursday.
Is.
I think the tide's with us.
Yeah. The whole thing is, how do these, no explanation how these people get back. And I know it's the Bahamas and it's only 20 feet of water, but you can't stand in 20 feet of water.
It's true. It doesn't help you, whether it's 20 feet or 100 feet deep.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah. Literally, if it's 8 feet or 100 feet deep, doesn't matter. Like, if you get tired, you can't.
You're drowning.
You're drowning. Like.
Oh, man. You know my one comfort out of wrapping up this movie is, Tyson?
What?
Is that we're done watching bad movies. For this podcast,
we never have.
From here on out, it's nothing but good stuff.
I never have to watch. I don't have to watch this ever again, and I'm really sad I watched it even to begin with.
Yeah, we better have a palate cleanser of some good movies. I don't know when we're gonna, how, what order we're gonna release this in, but folks, we have nothing but good stuff to go from here to the end.
Yeah,
we'll end on a high note.
Yeah, this. I think I said it before. This made me equally angry and depressed. At the same time, this movie. Please do. Please, if you've never seen this movie, don't go watch it. Literally, do anything else. Go for a walk. Go.
Unless it's being shown in a theater as like, unless it's like part of a drinking game at a movie theater and everyone's there, united in their desire to hate on this movie for fun, then it's okay.
No. This movie isn't
not even then.
This movie's not even fun in a, oh, this movie's so bad sort of way.
If I was organizing an event like that, I would choose Jaws 3, not this one.
I like movies that are so bad that they're kind of fun. Jaws 3 is one of them. I could actually see myself with friends watching Jaws 3 and going, isn't this stupid? And like, this movie does not have any of those traits.
This
has no joy. It has no
I know we've pointed out things we like, but there's
zero redeeming qualities of this film. It's a travesty.
Yeah, I've read a few things on the internet like, oh, the score is pretty good. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not good.
It might be one of the worst films I've ever seen.
It's up there.
And that's really saying something.
Yeah, like I said, because it has no excuse. Like, I've seen a few. I would put it in like the 10 worst movies.
Let me put it this way. The LJN produced NES game is better than this movie,
which I'm assuming you've recently played, right?
I have. It actually is very
true. Yes, it's true.
It has a lot of stuff from the movie in it. It's actually a pretty fun little game. Not the best NES game by any means.
I might go play it right after this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's fun. I can give you some pointers. It's not entirely, much like the movie, it's not entirely pointed out what you're supposed to be doing. Anyway, but.
I was thinking we should do rather than a podcast about like Jaws the board game or Jaws the video game, we do like a video, like where people get to watch us play it and we just offer our commentary over it.
Oh yeah, we could do that. Yeah, maybe do it as a double, like do a video and a podcast maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on the Facebook group.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe. Let us know.
Yeah. All right. Can this please be over?
Yes. I want to keep talking to you, but not about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what episode we're doing next, but I'm sure by the time this airs, you'll be able to tune in next Tuesday for whatever's next.
Correct.
So.
All right, folks.
All right.
Hope you like this. It destroyed a little bit of my soul.
Yeah. If you've actually listened to us talk about it for this long, congratulations. You are a diehard fan of this podcast.
Yeah. If you love this movie, great. Please explain it to us.
And then we will respond with why you're wrong.
Yeah. Or we won't. And that's fine too. But as always, guys, you know, like and subscribe, give us a review. Most of all, tell your friends. We're always trying to get more listeners. So please tell people about us. Check out the Facebook group. What else, Jer?
No, I think you covered it all. Check out Facebook at The Real Jaws Minute. Yeah. And if you feel so inclined, you can find a link there to shoot us a couple of bucks, help offset the ton of beer we had to drink in order to endure this movie.
Yeah. Also, there's equipment costs, hosting costs, that sort of thing. So
yeah, I will throw out that if you like what Tyson and I have to say about anything, you can check us out on a couple of other podcasts. We will, if we're not already out, we are on the Fright Night Minute, movie I love. So check out the Fright Night Minute, which is already airing. And by the time this is airing, you may be able to catch us on the Hitchcock Minute talking about North by Northwest.
Correct.
We cover a couple weeks of episodes of that. So check out the Hitchcock Minute, North by Northwest.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Cool.
Catch us next time right here on The Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.